Hello and welcome back to my podcast. Today we are on the fifth Sunday of Lent, as we call it in the Novus Ordo calendar. In the older calendar of 1962, then this is Passion Sunday, or the first Sunday of Passion Tide. Passion Tide is a two-week period, incorporating this coming week as well as Holy Week. And so the sacred liturgy turns its attention, but also its flavor changes, so that we become more focused on the passion of our Lord and his ultimate death. Interestingly, the next Sunday in the Novus Ordo, the two Sundays of Passiontide in the older calendar are sort of brought together to be called Palm Sunday of the Passion, which to me is a bit clunky. But anyway, that's what was done. So what we hear in the scripture readings of today bring us to the concept of covenant. It was Saint Irenaeus who lived in the second century, so he was only in the second generation of the Catholics, Catholic Church. It was Saint Irenaeus who said that the best way to read the Old Testament was in terms of the covenants that God made with his people. There was a type of covenant made with Adam. Then there was a covenant with Noah, then a covenant with Abraham, a covenant with Moses, and a covenant with King David. As you may be aware, these covenants are not like contracts where there is an exchange of goods, but rather a covenant is a pledge of life and an exchange of love. On a side note, that's why Christian marriage is also called a covenant, because Christian marriage involves a pledge of life and an exchange of love, and indeed an exchange of one's whole self. Now, if we think of the human person, the fitting place for a covenant is not the mind, but the heart, or if you like, the soul, the interior life. So what we hear from the prophet Jeremiah in the first reading is God speaking that in the future, after Jeremiah, he would make a new covenant which would be securely located in the human heart, because that is from where love springs forth. There is another proper connection between heart and covenant as well. Most of the covenants of the Old Testament were ratified with blood, with the sprinkling of blood, to be precise, the blood of the animal, a sheep, lamb. So the sprinkling of the animal's blood signified the covenant was ratified, was agreed upon and signed, sealed and delivered, so to speak. Now the New Testament covenant to which we belong and that Christ established is ratified in the precious blood of Christ. Heart and blood go together. So the covenant is a blood bond, in this case between God and his people. Now, the track record of the chosen people of Israel in keeping the covenants of the Old Testament was not good. And that's not being anti-Semitic. It's rather to say they were fallible and weak people, just like all of the human race. And so we must also admit the reverse side of fidelity, of being faithful to the covenant, is that of obedience. Obedience comes from the Latin word meaning to hear. As we know from our own experience, it is possible to mishear, to misinterpret what is heard, and to ignore what is heard. This can happen with the divine voice as well. In the gospel, the voice from heaven is heard in various ways, depending on the people hearing it. Some in the crowd only heard thunder. Others hear an angelic voice. Christ hears the voice of the Father. The Jews were not always obedient. They were not always faithful to God. Even if they rightly heard, they did not heed. but God was always faithful to them. And by the way, remember too that Jesus was going to die for those people who were gathered around him in the gospel episode, even if they heard nothing, and even if they were skeptical, even if they were disbelieved, Jesus would die for them, because God is always faithful. The very short epistle reading highlights the obedience of Jesus while being fully and completely God. In his human nature, he had to learn to obey through suffering. The secret of the cross of Jesus is that here he reached the perfect obedience to his Father, giving everything to his Father's will. His whole life and ministry had been devoted to the Father's will, to establishing the Father's kingship on earth. And now it reaches its highest point. His perfect obedience overrode and expunged the disobedience of Adam, which was and is the archetypal disobedience of the whole human race. So by accepting defeat, pain, and humiliation, Jesus obtained for himself and for all victory and exaltation to glory. Despite his very human fear, his unshakable commitment to his task, and his loving confidence in his Father's care did not waver. We should be truly grateful that we were born and live within the Christian New Covenant, because it lasts forever and will not need a replacement. But furthermore, we live an existence where the law is written on our hearts. And once again, this is not something that we have achieved, but it's God's work in us. As I said before, in the Old Testament covenants, it was the sprinkling of blood that sealed the covenant. What did Jesus do on the night before he died? He established the way we were to remember and deepen the new covenant in his blood. But his command to his apostles, the priests of the new covenant, was not to sprinkle his blood, but to drink his blood. To take the sign of the new covenant into themselves. Now, this makes no sense if what we receive in Holy Communion is only a symbol of Christ's body and blood. It has to be his real body and his real blood, so that the new covenant is being written on our hearts. Holy Communion after Holy Communion. So being faithful and obedient to the new covenant stems from taking within ourselves the precious gift of the body and blood of the Lord. And how kind God is to us. He wants to write the covenant on our hearts, and he has given us the way that he does it. It's another reason, isn't it, that we should love the Mass and reverence Holy Communion. Laudetur Jesus Christus.